symbolic. Tennessee basketball overtime. This is one, if it's a coursework during a year, this is your low grade. You throw it out, you move on. Hey, and in a long basketball season, you're going to have days like this. Now, Kentucky had one today at A&M, and they got away with it. Kentucky got away with it today. Tennessee, obviously. Tennessee, obviously, is not Kentucky. And when you're as challenged as this team is offensively, and you don't do the little things, and you don't play smart, you know. Donnie Tindall afterwards said, we were so bad on offense, we couldn't get in our press the last 12 to 13 minutes of the game. It was sayonara. I mean, what are you going to do? And he said, we took 17 threes in the game, 15 of them were good shots, they just didn't go in. You buy that, Keith? Were 15 of them good shots before we go to the phones?
Well, I'm of the mind, Tony, that no three-point shot taken by Derek Reese is a good shot.
I agree with that. To the phones we go. Even though he's made some big ones this year, though, Keith.
But he makes just enough to delude himself into thinking he actually can shoot.
Donnie Tindall, and he's right about this. I had a rough night coaching, and our guys had a rough night playing. You just got to keep punching.
Oh, no doubt. And one of the things is, Tony, that there's only so much he can do. I mean, granted, yeah, you could have tried some other things, but honestly, other than maybe sticking with Balkman and pulling hubs, or either pulling hubs or telling him, look, you're not shooting the ball from distance anymore.
Yep.
I don't know what else you could have done.
Would you make the decision to pull Richardson out when he was out of control in a couple sequences?
I think you do that to keep him from getting frustrated. I thought he was going to throttle Dietrich Mostel at one point in the second half.
I'll tell you what was weird about today's game. We had a couple wide open situations, and I think they'll review this. Hubs has a wide open layup, and he decides to pass the ball to Carmichael. What are you doing? Finish. And they did it twice.
That happened multiple times.
You did it twice. You threw away. And in that point in the game, those are huge possessions. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. There was so much frustrating about today's game. I don't even know where to start. Let's go to the phones. I can't believe I saw what I just saw. Let's go to the phones. Oh, that was an absolute stinker from start to finish. Donnie Tindall's first stinker, and that was an absolute stinker, and good for him for owning it because he had a bad day today. To the phones we go. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Yes, welcome.
Hey, Tony.
Hey.
Don.
Hey, Donnie.
Hey, man. Well, on the positive side, my 8-year-old grandson scored 18 and upward basketball.
Ah, there you go. That's what I want to hear. Wheeling and dealing and upward.
That little fella can, you know, eat the run point. I think it's UT. You know, guys, it was as bad. I mean, we're at 36-35 and don't score another point until the last minute. I mean, and Balkman looked frustrated to me every time he would go to the sideline. And I'm like, you got to let these guys shoot out there. We got the wrong guys taking shots too many times. And Reese might not should take those threes, but I tell you right now, he's all we got on the boards.
He plays hard. Yeah, it's hard for me to fault him. I've grown to really like him and appreciate him this year. Yeah, I've grown to really appreciate him, Don. I agree with that.
If he had about, you know, 25 more pounds on him, it'd be great. But it was just bad, all-time bad. I can't even describe what I saw in the second half. 2 points, basically, in the last 15 or 16 minutes. I mean, Josh came out like a house on fire to start the second half. And by the time Alabama called timeout, he didn't score the rest of the game. I mean, you just can't have that. Can't have that. You got nothing from Bobman, nothing. Very little from Moore. So it was Josh, and that was about it. I just write it off as like the Ole Miss football game and try to write the ship and go to the next game.
That's a good way of looking at it.
I can say. Talking about Kentucky escaping again, they've played two SEC games so far for world beaters. They've been in overtime twice. Double overtime today. And They went to double overtime against the team that got smoked the other night by Alabama. And that team's leading scorer and rebounder didn't play. Only Kentucky could manage to get to play somebody without their best player. And they missed like 17 free throws.
And they sure did. If they make a scintilla of their foul shots, it's a completely different game.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like we say about Alabama football. I mean, it's just like good luck just follows the winners. That's about all you can say. I'm not going to get too tore up over this. It probably would have hurt more to have lost on the last second 40-foot shot like Alabama did up here a few years ago, if you remember that one.
Well, we've said it. Yesterday we were talking about this, and for some reason this Tennessee-Alabama series in basketball is replete with stinkers on the Tennessee side. And Bino made the point yesterday, whether it's in the SEC tourney. A couple years ago you're playing them to get in the SEC tourney, and you looked about as lifeless as you did today against them. And it's really strange, man. It's just hard to comprehend.
It is. It's totally impossible to comprehend. But, you know, they gave a scholarship, you know, to our walk-on. I don't know why they didn't try. I don't think you could have done worse than what we were throwing out there.
It's a nice gesture. It's a nice gesture by them to do that. And, you know, Don, at the end of the day, what we've got to take from this and what that team has to take from this is you got to learn, and you can't let a situation happen again where you go 16 minutes and you're really not getting good shots. It's one thing if you're getting good looks at the basket and the ball's not going in. And I think Donnie's going to come to that conclusion. When he goes back and watches the video, Keith, I think he's going to realize, hey, we were way out of sync and I should have gotten several timeouts just to try to reel us back in.
I think there were some times there offensively. I think he's probably just part of that mindset. Said is probably, what am I going to do?
No.
Other than saying, hey, Armani, don't throw the ball to the other team. Mm. Derek Reese, don't ever shoot the ball outside 8 feet again. Mm. I mean, what do you know? Do?
Go ahead, Donnie.
Well, I was just going to say it was 36-36, and we're inbound to the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw it away on the inbound.
Which you just don't see that. And then we have another sequence a few minutes later. It's the second one of the game where a guy is inbounding the ball and he throws it off your center twice.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yep.
Four easy points. Don, thank you. And congratulations to your grandson. In a game like that, and I'm glad to hear somebody had a good day. We could have used him. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. As we get more comments from Donnie Tindall, we'll share them with you as we get ready to jump back to our phones. To me, you got to get a timeout or several of them, and you got to say, we're going to run something for Bachman now. Let's get a guy that can shoot the ball from the outside. Let's try to get him off. That's all. And I'm not. I mean, to me. And then the other thing is, while I'm ripping Tindall today, part of me is really appreciative of the fact that that team right there that they have, because you saw it today, that team has 9 wins on the year. Speaking of the Vols, how?
Oh, and that won't be the last time that happens this year.
No, they stink. We've been saying that all year.
There'll be at least a couple more of those this year.
People don't, and you know what, Keith, and this is the thing I've learned in doing this 20 years, people don't want to hear things like that. But you got to, it's like with football this year, or last year, you got to be honest with your expectations. If these guys get to the NIT, it's an accomplishment. If they get to the NCAA tournament with this basketball team, it's all-time accomplishment. It's what it is.
Well, there's no doubt about it. This team makes the first of all, that would further my argument that the field should be contracted if this team makes the NCAA.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to the phones. Everybody wants to speak, and I'm going to do just that. Tennessee went on a streak the other night in Starkville where they went 9-46 without scoring, and they got away with it. Tonight, the Volunteers went 13 minutes and 49 seconds. Unwatchable basketball game for the Vols. And how many times do you see it? The team they can't get it done offensively, starts to lose their men on defense. And that happened a little bit today. Even though they only gave up 56, it's hard to fault their effort. It wasn't like they had a dog effort.
Well, no, and had they actually had a proper scouting report or followed it, Rodney Cooper doesn't score what Rodney Cooper. I mean, I'm probably going to beat that to death, Tony. That guy's been in the league for 100 years. He's been left-handed the whole damn time. That hasn't changed. He hasn't dribbled right once in his entire time at Alabama.
And we're overplaying him on the right.
And we're playing as if he's driving right every time.
Oh, Gulpy.
Two things. Guy does two things. He shoots corner threes, and he drives left, and we didn't play him to do either of those today.
That's a fair criticism. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. And we'll find out when Gulpy's out of the shower, because he'll start blowing my timeline up. But in the meantime, let's go back to the phones at 865-200-5402. And let's grab our next caller. Hello and welcome. You're on your smart way. Dalton Baring, Tennessee Basketball Overtime. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, who's this?
It's JJ.
Hey, man. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Keith?
Hey, not much. How you doing, my friend?
You might need to get another whiskey sponsor in addition to Clancy.
That was not good today.
I mean, okay, I've got a few things. One, why in the hell do we have a problem with Alabama when we've got a completely new coach, a completely new team, they got a chip on their shoulder, and then we just looked clueless out there. I'm just so tired of these streaks having continuity when none of those kids really are aware of Alabama basketball, you know what I mean? So that's frustrating just from a UT fan perspective. Second thing, we're up 36-35, and I remember thinking at 36-35, I'm like, how in the hell are we winning this game? We are playing terrible. And Alabama was not playing terrible. It's not like they were hot from the three, you know. And up until the last few minutes, we were actually doing a good ball of a good job of at least defensive rebound, and I think that's one of the strengths of our team, is we at least block out and get the rebound. I think we limit other teams' second chance points, but the last few years of Tennessee basketball, as soon as we get a stop, as soon as we get a turnover, I know that we're going to just turn it right back over. You know, it's like their eyes get big and they start sweating and they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Third, I don't understand why you don't have someone guarding the inbound pass. There's no excuse for a guy's back to be toward the inbound passer. Makes no sense. Never seen that before.
Keith, I've seen it. We've seen it. We've seen Tennessee do it in the past. But you've never seen it twice. You've never seen it twice in one game. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Then on offense, we've got four guys standing around. Josh Richardson is dribbling way too much, and I don't think Richardson needs to be made into a point guard. He is not he's not quick enough, and if he is our main scorer, he needs to be a two or three. And I don't know if Donnie's thinking, you know, trying to think about Richardson as an NBA prospect. And I don't want to hear excuses about we don't have a point guard.
We don't have a point guard.
Richardson's not a point guard.
We don't have
a... He's better than anybody else they've
got. JJ,
Tennessee would fail to get the ball in the front court
with
anybody else playing point
guard. JJ, today...
Kevin Sutter's one of the five worst ball handlers in the country.
And God bless Armani Moore. He was recruited here as a point guard. He had a stretch where he had the ball for about 5 seconds. And he looked like a guy 7 feet tall trying to dribble the ball. And you know what? We don't have a point guard. So accept it. I mean, I'm sorry. I know you don't want to hear that. Hey, it might rain Wednesday. I'm sorry. If it rains, guess what? It's going to rain.
I understand what you're saying. My thing is, if it's just terrible play. He is dribbling way too much. They need to attack the defense with some passes. There was
nothing.
Top post flashing to the to the free throw line. All you got to do is pass it in there and then cut, set some picks and screens. We got four guys standing around the perimeter, and we're not a perimeter
no
team.
Posting
we might
up.
Not be a tall team.
Yep.
But
I agree.
But Tony,
I agree with that.
Seven,
nope.
I play against guys that are 6'4".
I agree with
when
that.
I used to play. Damn, I mean, you have a little head fake. We are throwing up the most awkward looking 7-foot shots I've ever seen. That's terrible. There's no passing. That is just terrible. Go for a head fake and draw a damn foul.
Hatfield, that's terrible to only in your building shoot. What was it I said earlier?
11 free throws.
In your own building, 11 free throws. Good, Keith.
But one thing. If we throw the ball in the high post to Willie Carmichael or Derrick Reese, why the hell would anybody go guard them? Anybody that goes guard them and gets beaten by those guys on a head fake should not be playing Division
One
basketball.
How about posting them up? How about posting Richardson up? How about trying something different?
How do you get the ball in the front court then? Who's going to get the ball in the front court?
How about posting up Armani Moore? Post up anybody.
Flashes to the high post. He becomes a dual threat. He can shoot it. He can pass and got
anything,
cut, but there was none of that.
Anything. I mean,
this was
Konzo ball today. I mean, we're just standing around lifelessly. We were in the Konzone, presented by Donnie Tindall today. I didn't think Donnie Tindall could take us to the Konzone, but we got taken to the Konzone today. JJ, thank you. JJB urinated off. Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Tennessee loses today. 56-38. And Keith, I would say, would have to go down for, I don't know if expectation's a good word, but just for the place it is in the season. New regime. Positive momentum after Wednesday night. The fact that it's Alabama. That's one of the darker days in Thompson Bowling history in terms of just the level of stinker that was. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when you don't score for almost 14 minutes, I mean, because the game against Penn State, O'Neill's, I think, first or second year, where they got beat, was it 39-38 in double overtime? That was in-state college, so that wasn't here. So, yeah, I mean, that's about as bad as you can humanly play offensively. That's right there with, well, no, the Bruce Pearl loss to Charlotte was at Charlotte. So, yeah, that's far. Other than, like, I don't even count the Wade Houston years because that was all bad. I mean, when you're losing back-to-back home games to Western Carolina and Arkansas Little Rock, I mean, that speaks for itself.
Tennessee had 14 field goals today and 13 turnovers. Try that on for size. 14 field goals and 13 turnovers. There's not a team on Tennessee's schedule this year they've played so far, including the exhibition games. Even Marathon Oil. That they would beat with 14 field goals and 13 turnovers. Back to the phones we go.
Oh, and if they play like this Tuesday night,
they will get decrapitated.
It will be one of the all time beatings in the history of that building if they play like that Tuesday night.
But I have a feeling they always give their best to Arkansas through the years, and I have a feeling they're going to have a great game for Arkansas. And I have a feeling that the part of this Alabama mojo played into this thing today.
No, I just don't think that this team. I mean, we said it all year, Tony. We know this team's limitations, and that, like I said, I'll be stunned if there's not two or three more of those this year, because of how this team's constructed.
Well put,
and the fact that they've got severe limitations. So I don't think that'll be the only time that happens this year. But the one thing I'm not worried about is this team. They're not going to throw in the towel. If they get blown out Tuesday night, it'll be just because Arkansas is considerably better than
them. And I'll tell you this, they never quit playing tonight, even though they sucked. They never quit playing.
It's really easy to quit. It's really easy to quit playing when you can't score.
But, yeah.
It's really easy to just say, well, we can't get it done. We're not getting it done today. Oh, well, I'm going to conserve my energy. I mean, yeah, it would have been real easy for them to get beat by 25 today. Way they played in the second half.
Elsewhere around the Southeastern Conference, it's your drive around the SEC. I'm John Wilkerson reporting. Vanderbilt and Arkansas just underway. South Carolina and Ole Miss tonight at 6. Tonight at 7, Missouri and Auburn. Tonight at 7, Mississippi State, Florida. Tonight at 9, Georgia LSU. Kentucky today defeats Texas A&M in two overtimes, 70-64, in a game where Kentucky was on the brink of defeat a good three or four times. Alabama today comes into Knoxville, improves a 12-3 on the year, defeating the Volunteers 56-38. Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter, fan reaction, basketball overtime. Back to the phones we go. All lines are jammed. 865-200-5402. To our phones we go. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Keith? What's up, Basilio? It's Roberto.
Hey, man.
Saturday. Other than that stinker we watched today. You know, I attended because Donnie Tindall told me to, and they lay that egg. I'm not mad. If you're really, really upset today, I feel for you because, you know, Basilio, a couple of months, maybe a month ago, I told you I really do think this team's a bubble team, but we also had Jabari McGee on the team at that time, and I don't think we're a bubble team anymore because I think that guy was so vital. We have zero, and I mean zero, inside presence, none. And, you know, with him, I thought we had a shot because, you know, he doesn't foul like Carmichael is a hack waiting to happen. Now, a few of those calls tonight were very questionable. This is the second game in a row that I just don't see why Tennessee can't get a whistle. I mean, do you really think they're fouling that much, guys, genuinely?
Yes.
This team fouls a lot.
This team
reaches and plays defense with his hands a lot.
Yeah.
Armani Moore, for whatever reason, obviously thinks the way you play defense is to slap down at the ball.
Why are you hating so much on Armani Moore tonight? Good gosh, Hatfield.
Armani Moore might as well have been Jerron Brown or Chris Brand.
Why the hate? Stop.
Well,
stop.
Again, as a true fan, I mean, I'm not really mad. I think it was a very disappointing performance. Here's what is eye-opening to me. The final score was 56-38. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did we not lead 36-35 at one point in the
Yes.
game? That is eye-opening to me. Donnie Tindall, and you know what? Thank God we have a coach, and he doesn't coach speak. You know, I like Butch Jones. By the way, it's also very telling that Butch Jones got the loudest ovation all night. You guys realize that, right?
Unbelievable.
Even when we made our 5 or 6 point run to tie the game, it was louder when he stood up in the arena. So,
there is a love affair with Butch Jones right now, no doubt about it.
I mean, winning football, this is still a football school, though there are a lot of basketball fans here, myself included. It wasn't scheme. I think Alabama's just – I actually do believe, and Keith, you're probably well more versa. Alabama's a tournament team. Do you agree?
They've got tournament talent. I don't know that team
– That's more what I meant. I think Anthony Grant's a terrible coach.
I think he's average at best.
Well, I'm glad we swung a miss on him. I mean, Dave Hart keeps falling into good coaches. But as far as Donnie Tindall, the one thing, he's got to call a timeout and slow the pace of the game. And when I say slow the pace, I mean slow their run. The next thing you looked up, and they were up 11 after we were up by a point. I just couldn't believe that it went that fast. I didn't really have anything to say other than I'm not as disappointed as I thought I would be, just because, as you said a lot, Tony, is this is a reasonable expectation for this team. They are going to lay stinkers. But the biggest glaring weakness to me, and more so today than really, is just a lack of a post presence whatsoever.
Yeah, how have you won 9 games? Think about that. You've got no post presence. You've got one guy who handles the basketball. And with McGee out, and that's your point. Your point is, with McGee, you got the makings of a real nice basketball team. Now, when you put some weight on Owens and you put some weight on Carmichael, those are going to be some pretty nice players. You can see it. Those guys will be nice players.
I don't know who number 10 from Alabama was, but that's Owens in 2 years. A little bit, you know, he's tall and lanky, but he was a little thicker, and that's Owens in 2 years. But you got to give it. Owens needs to eat some damn cheeseburgers. That kid needs to put some weight on now. I mean, and wearing number 11 doesn't make him look any thicker, does it?
No, he looks like a pencil.
Ethiopian?
No, like a pencil. But I appreciate the call. Thank you. You're like a Kenyan, one of those 10,000-meter Kenyans right now, Keith. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. Are you going to try, do me a favor, Keith, are you going to make a concerted effort to be nicer to Amani Moore?
Oh, yeah, I can just quit talking about him and start on Derek Reed.
Keith? Are we trying to get blood from a stone? Reese had 6 points and six rebounds today. He was at least active. I mean, granted, his shot selection wasn't very good. You know who really is odd, and I think he's hitting a wall right now, is Dietrich Mostella. He was Noah Stahlke today.
No, he was not.
He was not present. He was not with
us. And as I said, about midway through the second half, I think that Josh Richardson had about enough of Mostella's act.
Let's go to the phones. But Josh Richardson's been there before, and he's done that. Let's grab our next call. Who's up next? 865-200-5402 is our number. Again, 865-200-5402. And let's grab our next call here. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way, Dalton Behring. Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello.
What's going on, Hatfield and McCoy?
What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, Jake?
Hey, I'll tell you what. I think the best hour and a half I spent today was when I went back at halftime and laid down on the bed and took a nap and woke up and the game was over.
Well, there, you didn't miss much. Can I tell you what you missed? I think we had 5 points in the second half.
Let's say you missed about two Tennessee baskets.
Yeah, poor old Chief Jr., he called me. He was all excited. Said he'd one of his buddies who'd met over at Union County had an extra ticket, and they were hooking up down there. And he called me right about the time the game was over, and I didn't even realize I'd fallen asleep. And he told me what happened, but... you know, I'm sitting here looking at this box score, and I know Hatfield's beating up on our Monty Moore, but it looks to me like the only two guys that showed up today were him and Josh Richardson.
Armani Moore had 9 boards in the game with 8 points, but man, he was mystifyingly insane with the decision making out there today.
Was he?
Yeah, he had a bad day.
Yeah, and Richardson, you know, he was 6 of 13 with 17 points. But other than that, and I'll tell you what, and I agree with you, Tony, that Derek Reese, he's starting to grow on me. Boy, he's ugly. He's about as ugly as Butterbean, but he's starting to grow on me.
He's nice. I'll tell you what he is. He's a very nice athlete, I think.
6 rebounds, Keith.
Hey, when there's as many missed shots as there were today, somebody's got to rebound them. I could send a Labrador Retriever out there and grab some rebounds.
Keith, come on, man.
Rebounds of the word today.
That's pretty cool. I don't care who you are. But I'll tell you what's glaring to me is where Willie Carmichael's got to be in the witness protection program. 0-1 from the field, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 fouls.
He literally goes into basketball games. He's the one guy, and I don't know how they've done this, but when he enters the game in the first whatever moment he's in, he automatically has 3 fouls on him.
I think that's right.
He is a human foul machine. I mean, he belongs in a deodorant commercial. He's so foul. He constantly fouls. Everything about that guy is foul. He fouls to foul. I've never seen a guy commit. And then he always has his hands up, and he looks over at the ref after he runs somebody over. Hey, Willie. And today, Donnie looks at him and goes, you just killed a guy. You trucked him. He comes off the bench. He goes, I didn't do that. And I read Donnie's lips. Donnie's like, you ran him over. Yeah, you did do that. Be smart.
And with the big boy that broke his foot,
yeah,
he's the one guy that we really need to step up right now because we've got nobody else.
No, you can't play Tariq Owens major minutes. I mean, that's their choices. Either that or they're just going to play 5 guards and try to make a go of it that way, really. Because I guess you would call Reese a forward. So, yeah, I mean, that's the only way they can play.
I was thinking about that today. Just go little and just let it roll. You could have almost gotten away with that today.
And looking at this box score, man, Kevin Punter really laid an egg today. 0-7 from the field. 2 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 points. And, you know, he's been playing pretty good, and I love that cool little thing he's got on his chin, but he didn't show up today.
No, Punter and Mostella had bad days.
Devin Bachman or Mostella.
Yeah, you can't. You just can't have that many guys out to lunch. The one thing this team's been able to do so far this year is at least be consistent with who they are and get production out of other people. It was way too one-sided today.
Hey, Tony, but here's one thing I've learned over the years, over the last 20 years, is never go to the Alabama game.
Well, you nailed it. Thanks,
and,
man.
And you know what? I was trying to get some tickets out of you, and you didn't have any, but you hooked me up for the Arkansas game. And I kind of took that as an omen. I said, because we're probably going to get our ass kicked by Alabama, so I'll just wait and go Tuesday night because it always happens like this against Alabama. And sure enough, it did. And I'm going to be down there Tuesday night rooting on the Vols and be glad to be there.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you. 865-200-5402. And again, I go back to this. The guys did not quit today. It was not one of those efforts like last year, one of those lifeless deals. But I'm going to have a perfect Saturday here, Keith, because Temple has blown a 12-point lead. Tulsa has a 1-point lead now with a little over 7 to go up in Philly. So I'm going to have me a perfect day here today with my college basketball.
It happens occasionally.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to pre-medicate. And Cummings got taken to the locker room, too. It's
I saw him get hurt earlier. I didn't know if he'd come back in the game.
No, he's not back. No.
Bouncing between about 3 or 4 different games.
Yeah. Arkansas is on top of Vandy right now, 15-9. What'd you make of the Louisville-Carolina game?
I think Louisville's overrated. I'm not sure they're much of a contender as everybody else is. I mean, people are going to make a big deal about Kentucky. What Kentucky's doing right now is what Ric Flair used to do in the old NWA territory days.
Exactly.
He'd come to Knoxville, and everybody would think Bob Armstrong had him and had him and had him. He gets out, and he wins. That's what's going to go on. Yeah, somebody will probably eventually get them in the SEC if they keep playing with fire like this. They're not going to lose more than one. If they lose more than 2 conference games, I'll be godsmacked.
They're bored is what they look like.
They won't care till the Sweet 16. And they won't have any reason to.
Middle of February. This is the time to play them. Middle of February, they'll start, quote unquote, buckling it. You know, when he installs his program. That's what all those guys do. The contenders, that's what they do.
He's going to quit playing the Harrisons so much because those guys are both stiffs. They're 10 times better when those guys don't play.
Back to
the front. They're a lot better with Booker and Tyler Ulis in the game than they are with those two clowns.
Boy, Booker took a shot in today's game. Let's go back to the phones, 865-200-5402, and I don't mean a shot at the basket. I mean a shot to his face as we get another call in here. Hello and welcome.
Hey, Keith and Tony. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well.
Been a whole lot better. I've got an Excedrin headache this big, man. I need a drink and a quick decision, brother.
Yeah, that was a very ugly game today, but my day's not been too terrible because Peter Poker followed me on Twitter.
Oh, there you go.
Well, I mean, my gosh.
I think I've made it now.
What more could a man need?
Exactly. Peter Poker and Brian Hartman in the same week, Tony.
I'm telling you, it's intergalactic right now. You're an immovable force.
I've got 2 questions for Keith. The first one is, would a Leon Berger grab as many boards as the Labrador Retriever?
I think you could put anything out there. I think any kind of functioning canine would have gotten several boards today with the number of bricks that were up there.
And my second question is on Kevon Allen. Do you think he will alleviate our point guard problems if he commits and if Donnie stays and he finally arrives on campus?
If I'm Kevon Allen and I'm at that game today, I would have
scoot it up at halftime.
Well, I would have to look at that and go, yes, I can play here, and look at the number of people in this place to see this slop. Because the school he's committed to, and I don't know if he's still committed or not because he's visiting, but the school he's committed to has a swimming pool in the same building where they play basketball, and they don't even play it in front of capacity crowds, and it's half the size of our gym.
Oh, no, today, our crowd today is 2 Florida home games.
2 Florida home games.
Kentucky.
2. Only Kentucky in this league is going to put more people in their building than what we put today.
That speaks to the power of Tennessee.
There's
like
no question.
Everybody on Hatfield show yesterday. It's a powerful place.
It's an extremely powerful place. Butch Jones knows that. Donnie Tindall knows that. Hey, our baseball coach knows that. It's powerful here.
And on the way out, guys, who you got in tonight's NFL fixtures?
I think right now, Baltimore's on top of New England 7-0. I think New England ultimately will win that game. And then in the night game tonight, who are you going to pick? I mean, come on. Let's get real.
I've got both birds. Seahawks, Ravens.
Yeah, I agree with you. Seahawks, Ravens. No, the Ravens aren't going to win up there. Come on, man.
John Harbaugh is a great coach.
Let's get real.
He might be the best Harbaugh brother.
Tomorrow, I like two upsets. I like two road dogs to win. I'm taking the Cowboys to win in Lambeau because of their quarterback issue and health. And I'm taking the Colts to pull the shocker of the weekend.
Hey, I'm in complete agreement. I've got both of those underdogs tomorrow. Tony, Keith, have a good one, you guys.
Thank you. Good talking to you. 865-200-5402.
Good luck to you doing a show Monday if the Colts do win.
51-47. I'm telling you, I saw that coming. 865-200-5402. Temple's now losing by four. This is going to really urinate me off. What a bad day for old Tony B. 865-200-5402. Our Vols fall today 56-38 in a game that can only be described as forgettable. As in, as soon as we do this show, I will not watch the video. I will not break the video down. You know, that's a good question. If you're the coaching staff, Keith, are you breaking that video down or are you just moving on from that since you shot it so poorly?
Other than some guys who I will not continue to bang by name. But other than splicing up them trying to throw the ball through opposing players 47 feet one-handed and a guy coming out of the post and running and guarding someone who's 8 feet from the basket and allowing his guy to get a dunk at the end of the first half, that's probably about the extent of that film I show.
If you've been encountering busy signals, now an opportunity for you with a line available. First time today we've had one at 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402 as Tennessee loses today, 56-38. And how about Alabama, 9-3 on the year. The Vols still 11-3, rather. Alabama is on the year. And Tennessee, 9-4 overall on the year, still had a really, really fine season.
Well, if you look at it, Tony, put it this way, I would rather have us played this way against Alabama and played this way against ETSU or one of those guys.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And the truth is, this team has been on borrowed time the entire year. I mean, let's face it. Against ETSU, you're down 13-0. Well, you're down 13-0. You can't throw it in the ocean and you win. You got away with one with Butler when you dug yourself a hole because you went in one of those stretches where you can't score. And somehow they've been able, through mirrors, magic, smoke, whatever it is, they've been able somehow to, Keith, remain relevant and win basketball games. And to me,
Wednesday night's
a good example. I mean, Wednesday night, come on, let's go to the phones. And I know that. Look, Mississippi State's not very good, okay? The league's not very good. But we saw today, when you fall asleep in your own building, you're getting beat. You're getting beat. Back to the phones we go. And Alabama's not great, but they're certainly material-wise better than the Volunteers. Let's get our next call in here. Hello and welcome. You're on your Smart Way Dalton Bearing Tennessee Basketball Overtime.
Where's my brother?
Hey, Philly, how you doing, man?
How are you, Keith?
I'm pissed, Phil. I hate it today. That's a terrible day.
I'm out of line. We got one player to start at Alabama as much as I can't have any Grant can't coach a lick, but I mean, we're devoid of talent, and you know they got better athletes, and you know we have no inside game.
No,
I mean it kills today.
Yeah, because when they basically play that zone and say you're going to shoot it and you can't shoot it, and you don't have any options in terms of getting easy baskets, what are you going to do? I mean, I would like to have seen our coach take a few timeouts and and get to the bottom of it. But what are you going to do?
I don't know, but I think the solution is recruiting. We need some players. And, Keith, what do you foresee their starting lineup being next year? I mean, regardless of who they got recruiting, can you give me insight there?
Well, I think if you get Kevon Allen, he starts. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think he starts from day one at point guard. I mean, the hope would be that Mostella takes that step up and he's your starting two guard next year. And I've convinced myself, Bill, that Robert Hubbs is either a forward or he can't play. So I guess he probably gets first crack at small forward, and then I think you just play it out among the big guys and anybody you sign late out of junior college or any senior transfers. I think getting a part of the back will help immensely.
Do you think they'll sign a big guy if they can get one?
I think absolutely they will. I don't think there's any doubt, because still, even at I mean, to me, the optimal thing right now would be to redshirt Tariq Owens next year.
Yeah, I agree.
Give him a year to put some weight on and break that up where you're not losing three post players all at the same time.
Is Boston Barnes going to be able to be a good backup point guard?
I think so. I think he'll be good enough that he can get you 8-10 minutes a game. I mean, he's not going to be anything spectacular, but put it this way, if he were eligible, he'd be playing right now.
Yeah. Well, Josh Richardson's getting way too many minutes, and I think that's hurting him. He's missing foul shots now because he's playing too much. I mean, but
I look at it this way. If Brandon Lopez was healthy, Brandon Lopez would be playing right now.
Well, I'm saying a lot right there. You know?
What would you do, Phil?
I think that's where they're at.
Phil, how are you going to get Richardson off the floor going forward this year some, just to let him pace himself?
Well, all you can do is right before a TV timeout, get him out right before one and try to, you know, just give him two or three blows a game. But, I mean, they tried to today and, it, you know, didn't work. I mean, I think the whole team was gassed.
I thought so, too. I think Phil makes a good point. Other than Josh Richardson, who on Tennessee's roster would merit more than 7 or 8 minutes a game for Alabama?
I don't see it, do you? I mean,
I don't know who it would be.
No, I'm going to say – again, Phil, how are we, and people don't call me a Tindall suck-up, but I ripped him today for some of the stuff that went on today, but at the same time, how are we 9-4, Phil, with that roster? That's incredible to me, against the schedule we've played.
Well, I'm still glad Konzo's gone, regardless. I mean, I hope we can keep Donnie Tindall. I think he's going to be able to recruit if he can survive this storm. I mean, a lot of people have done a lot worse and got not charged with any sanctions at all, so I don't understand why we can't keep him.
I think they feel pretty good about it internally, and I think that I think the thing that really saddens me about today's game is that while they had that 9-3 start, Phil, it happened almost almost in secret around here, because now this is when the eyeballs finally start showing for most people on the basketball program. And the last two games have been extremely ugly. And people are going to say, boy, if that's what this is, I don't know. I don't know about this guy. Because most people don't watch it and aren't knowledgeable and aren't as into it as we are. So they're casual with it. And if you're casual with it, the last two times out, you'd look at this thing and go, God, this stuff is slopping. This guy can't coach. That's what you'd say. Now, it's not fair, but that's what you'd say.
Let's play the whole year out and see. I mean, I think we're going to be lucky to go 8-8 in the SEC.
Agreed.
What do you think, Keith?
Oh, I'll be. If this team finishes 500 in the SEC, they've accomplished something.
Yep.
Just because it's going to be. I mean, we saw today how limited they are offensively, and that's going to make it incredibly hard to win on the road. I mean, after the road game they play next Saturday, I'm not sure there's another road game the rest of the year I look at and go, yeah, that's one you should get. So.
Yeah, I mean, you see how much losing Stokes and McCray. I mean, really, Josh Richardson's the reason why we had a great NCAA run last year, because he elevated his game. I mean,
no doubt.
So, I'm a team guy. I mean, I like the guy. I think he's a combination of Ray Mears and Bruce Pearl. But he just got to get players in here. It's about the Johnnies and Joes. I mean, look at Bruce Jones. I don't think he can coach a lick, but he's getting players in there.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know how great of a coach Jones is either, but I'm convinced now that he's recruited enough that he will win here. There's no doubt about it.
If think find
well,
a left
tackle. Well, he does have the next
well, guy wheel. I'm glad to see him. Bowden will be the one of the fatty run off the field there, Wolfo. Hey, what did you think about Carol Lawson doing the commentary on the...
I like her. I think she's very good, yeah. Phil. What do you think?
Really? I think she's awful. Isn't where's Dane Bradshaw when you knew? Hunter Fortin was down. I heard Dane would be down there, too. No.
Classic Philly! Classic!
Hey, I tried to get my tickets to GQF. He must have got there in the wishing town and didn't want to go. And then I turned around and took B, and no one got B. So...
It's beautiful. Anytime you take Beano to one of those things, you're getting beat. 865-200-5402. Again, 865.
Baltimore all over the Patriots.
Can you believe this? Can you believe this?
They've beaten them 2 out of 3.
What is going on? Match this. This Flacco guy can't play a lick in the regular season. He is a world beater. In the playoffs, as the
he's
Ravens,
bizarro Andy Dalton.
He is. Flacco has 2 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Bizarro Andy Dalton. That's a great line.
He's bizarro Andy Dalton.
Because Andy Dalton can't play dead in the playoffs. As we go back to our
phones. He can play dead. He does it every year.
I'm sorry. My bad. Bad line on my part. By the way, my Temple Owls have been outscored 28-6 since their best player left with. An injury. So, yes, this is happening to me twice now today. 28-6 by your boy from Missouri, Frank Haith.
Frank Haith.
All time. You talk about a bad loss. Let's go back, and that is in progress right now. Let's go back.
They're on a roll. And Temple was looking like they were probably the best team in that league right now.
Let's go back to our phones and grab another call here on your smart way, Dalton Behring and Hydraulic. Tennessee basketball overtime. Hello and welcome.
Hey, I'm kind of with Roberto a little bit. I'm not mad about the loss. This is kind of, with the team we have, Tony, this is what we should kind of expect. And Donnie, before here, this game just kind of exceeded our expectations, maybe a little too much.
I think people are getting a little too happy. Yeah, I think there's something to that.
And as far as Carmichael goes, Willie Carmichael, as far as 14 or 15 games, he is the only player that has never fouled anybody in the history of the University of Tennessee.
I love him. He's complaining on every call. And
he's never fouled anybody.
And he looks like a bull in a china shop, that proverbial, that saying, the guy... runs people over, and he's wild as he can be out there.
And then he's just indignant when he's called for a foul.
It's great. It's great, man.
Shoulders up, hands out, like, what the hell?
And he is constantly running people over.
What are you talking about?
Constantly.
who was the fat footlocker official during the game?
Oh man, that guy's badly out of shape.
Who is he? He there's a couple times Hatfield where he made a call like a block or a charge, and he skip. I'm like, who is that?
He's not one that's familiar to me, and he was so badly out of position a couple of times. I thought Donnie might go ahead, once he got a little out of hand, Donnie might go ahead and get him pretty good.
I thought he would get teed up. That footlocker was awful tonight.
You know what, Donnie? Donnie knows these guys a lot better than we do. Donnie looked to me like he was resigned with 10 minutes left that we were not winning that game. Did you guys notice that from his body language? Did you get that from him, Keith? I think he figured, yeah, we finally hit it. We're burnt. We've hit the wall here.
Well, they know. They know when there's going to be days like that. Especially when he sees that bunch every day in practice. I guarantee there are days they probably go 2 hours without making a shot. So,
hey, you know, Tony,
he knew it was coming.
I do want to say one thing about Hubs. I think Hubs made a pass. Hubs could have just absolutely taken a stop jump and yammed on somebody. today in the first half, and he passed it, and the guy wasn't looking.
And hit Carmichael in the face, and Carmichael wiped out the front row.
Right. And I really think Hub could be, like, the next – you might think I'm stupid, but Jordan McRae, because Jordan McRae used to do stuff like that. Josh Richardson used to do stuff like that. And I think if Hub, if they just said, hey, you know, when he gets a little bit more mature, when he has to be the guy, I think he could be the guy. And he just needs to have more confidence to say, I don't give a damn, and just ball out and not pass the ball.
I would take that 10-1 over the Robert Hubs that we've seen, which is his body language is get me out of here. And you know, he's made some key shots here in the last little bit, in the last stretch.
Tony,
he's played some good basketball.
Tony, you're wrong. I think Hub the third is going to be our next job.
No, I'm saying I think he's got ability. I'm agreeing with you in that standpoint.
Oh.
What I'm saying is that today there's absolutely no reason to pass that ball when you have a wide open layup. Take it to the rim hard, and if you miss the shot, you miss the shot. But believe in yourself. Don't be passing that ball to Carmichael there. There's no and he's not the only one that did it. Armani Moore did it, and we did it one other time. We gave away at least 6 uncontested looks at the basket to trying to make an extra pass.
Scotty Hobson did it. Jordan McRae did it. Josh Richardson used to do it. I think the kid can play.
I don't know how many balls Jordan McRae passed off or Scotty Hobson when he had a shot at a basket. But
don't mistake dribbling it off your foot into the sand for a pass. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the guy couldn't dribble. I mean, you can have a fifth grade clinic over there at Holston Middle School or something, and you can have kids dribble better than Scotty Hobson. I agree with that.
Just
but
a rough day.
Confidence. Yeah. I really think Hubs will come into his own.
I hope you're right. I really hope you're right, and I'd love to see it.
Well, this team's desperately going to need that to happen next year.
Yes, they are. And
there's no debate about that.
No.
They have to have it next year.
No, and we desperately...
Lord, have mercy. You're right.
We desperately need to get that kid that's on campus right now. Thank you, my friend. In fact, I'll tell you what, Hatfield... I would trade you a commitment from him for a loss today. In fact, I would trade you a commitment from him for a loss to Alabama and Arkansas. Would you make that deal with me?
Well, yeah, because you're probably getting a loss to Arkansas under any circumstance. I don't think you're giving anything away there.
DePaul, by the way, is trailing Villanova 45-24 at the half, Keith.
Well, that was... Everybody who bought into DePaul's 3-0 start in the Big East was going to get that sooner or later. All that's done is probably delude them into keeping Oliver Purnell another year so they can win 2 or 3 Big East games again next year.
But it was fun while it lasted. We will all admit that.
Well, I'm sure the DePaul people are thrilled. Well, 3 conference wins is a good year for them these days.
Before you give me a preview of the Arkansas game, let me just remind the living listener that Dalton Bearing and Hydraulic, about the business of providing exceptional service, unbeatable prices. We're never going to promise more than we will deliver. We are going to under-promise and over-deliver at Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics every single time. Every single time. Knowledgeable staff, experienced staff, going the extra mile to help you with your hydraulic supply, cylinder, motor questions and needs. And thing about Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics is number one source, whether it's off-shelf or custom-made hydraulic cylinders and power units. Plus, Dalton has anything that turns and makes mobile components work. And last year, they sold 350,000 AC and DC hydraulic power units and cylinders. And this year, it will be through the roof in 2015. That's their New Year's resolution. And they're online at daltonhydraulic.com, Dalton Bearing and Hydraulics. Also want to thank our friends at Smartway, online at gosmartway.net. You can find Smartway, if you're in the Knoxville area, at 8416 Kingston Pike, right in the vicinity of Bearden High School, right there off where Walker Springs Road and Kingston Pike is, and you'll be really glad when you went through and had a look around, because it's your everything for home store, where you're going to pay your way, where you will be smart, you will buy smart, and you will do business the smart way. And what does the smart way mean? Smart Way has everything for your home. Appliances, furniture, electronics, even cell phones, smartphones, and now tires, and they're always adding. They're always adding different things. But and Smart Way, you're going to find the same stuff that you can get at all the major retailers. But here's the hitch. If you're a little short on cash, hey, they're going to do business with you. And the reason we say be smart and buy smart, look, you can walk in today and get it at terms where you can either pay in full and go out the door at the low price, or 120-day, 6 months, same as cash. And then you pay the cash price in the first 120 days or 6 months. Or you can choose a lease, purchase, rent to own, where you'll choose your payment amount and frequency, and you can change it anytime you want without the hassle of a new agreement. And that's why we call it Smart Way. And I hope you'll take advantage of the Smart Way with Smart Way online at GoSmartWay.net. Let's go back to our busy, busy phones on a day where my Tennessee Volunteers get blown out by the Alabama Crimson Tide, and my Temple Owls today did the exact same thing that Tennessee did and had a lead at the 15-minute mark and basically scored 2 points the rest of the way. Keith, am I lying? That's exactly what I just witnessed.
That's what happened.
That you talk about a day. I'm going to need about 5 Advil when I'm done this show today. Because no question. I take my basketball Vols extremely seriously. I take my Temple Owls extremely seriously. And John Pennington's New England Patriots are getting popped.
When was the last time Tom Brady had a touchdown run of more than a yard on a sneak?
Back to the phones. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is the Patriots get on the board and trail 14-7. Let's go back to our phones and get another call in here. As Dick LeBeau is out in Pittsburgh. Let's grab our next caller. Hello and welcome.
This is Tony?
Yes.
Tony Bespilio?
Yes.
Hey, Tony, this is Luke.
Hey, Lukey.
Hey, buddy. Don't worry about this situation today. I've seen this happen 4 or 5 times with Alabama. They come in here and play a perfect game. They played a perfect game today. And I saw the game, and they had a big team, and they were getting dunks and layups, and it's happened several. I pretty well knew they was going to come in here and probably beat us, because I've seen it before, with them. And,
Keith, did you know it? Keith, did you know we were losing today?
About probably early. Once we quit scoring by about the 12-minute mark of the second half, it was pretty obvious it was done.
Yeah, they play. They're a good defensive team. They're well coached. They're well coached, and that's the whole thing. They hound the ball well. They didn't make mistakes. And you can't beat a team that plays almost a perfect game. We can't win every game we play. So let's just hang in there, and we're going to get better.
Alabama
we
didn't just play a perfect
we don't
game.
Have the players they had.
Now Alabama didn't play a perfect game. They had 56 points today. Come on, man. Alabama's
yeah, but
not
they,
good.
They weren't. They weren't. They
were, scored 17 they points. They scored 17 points in the second half and won a game on the road. Come on, man. I mean, let's get real.
Well, they were kind of taking care of the basketball. They weren't really rushing their shots or anything. And you remember back in the late 60s, 59, 60, I don't know if you was alive then, Tony, but Mississippi State played that way. And I think they might have won a national championship.
Look, everybody,
the game down like that.
Everybody played that way back then. There wasn't a shot clock, and all the guys were all white.
Yeah, well, but they had a good coach, Dave McCarthy. He was a great coach. And,
there's Jane Skinner right there. You see Jane Skinner standing over there with Fidel Goodell? Remember Jane Skinner from Fox News there, Hatfield?
Ah, yes. Good old Fidel Goodell. That may
Jane
not
Skinner
be.
With him.
May not be a more. I like Jim Delaney better than I like Roger Goodell.
Lukey, you know I love you.
Well, I know that, Tony, and
but Alabama,
we don't always
tonight,
agree. We don't always agree.
Alabama didn't exactly play well today. What is Jane Skinner doing out in the cold? What are those? Roger Goodell makes $58 million. What's he doing?
No, he's the common man, Tony.
Oh, and then they put the camera on him.
$70 million and stuff. He's just a regular fan, Tony. He's just like the rest of us.
And then he says, "Put the camera on me for like a minute." So they did it. And you know where he's going right now, Keith?
Back up to Robert Kraft's box.
You got it. Now we're talking. Lukey, do you expect that we'll bounce back Tuesday and win the game with Arkansas? Because Keith is about to...